This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
God getting ready to show out in your life. He's getting ready to show out in your house. He's getting ready to show out in your relationship. He's getting ready to show out in your children. He's getting ready to show out in your finances. He's getting ready to show out in your business. God's getting ready to show out. Somebody shout, God's getting ready to show out. He's getting ready to show out.
Reunite and ignite with your World Changers family at Grace Life Conference 2024. Join us at the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, July 11th through the 13th for a three-day celebration packed with surprises with guest speakers Gregory Dickow, Andrea Creighton, Inky Johnson, Bishop Clarence McClendon, and Michael Smith. Prepare to receive life-changing revelation. Don't miss soul-stirring worship with Hezekiah Walker and Brian Courtney Wilson. Text Grace Life one word to 51555 and get ready for the reunion.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
You ever had something happen in your life and you just didn't know why? It happened all the time. This happened, I don't understand why. But you know what I've come to the place of doing? I trust you. You're working on something better than I thought I had. Kuroboshata. Yerabashara labai. He's working on something better than what you thought you had. You thought what you lost was better than what he getting ready to do. But sometimes God will allow loss so it can make room for what he trying to bring into your life. And you got to trust him. Ah. Come on, join me. Look up and say, I got to trust you, God. I got to trust you. There's so much I didn't understand. Why are you doing this? Why did you let that happen? Because I'm working on something you hadn't seen yet. God getting ready to elevate. You know he can raise up whoever he want to raise up. Huh? Ain't nobody got to know you. You ain't got to be famous and have a famous name. But he says, I'll make your name famous. God getting ready to raise some of you up. He getting ready to raise you up out of average. He's getting ready to raise you up out of something you created for yourself. And he said, no. I let you stay there for a while, but I called you and wired you and prepared you for a specific assignment. Now I'm getting ready to bring you into that I'm getting ready to bring you into that place where I called you to. So dust off the sadness, get rid of the depression, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. God getting ready to show out in your life. He's getting ready to show out in your house. He's getting ready to show out in your relationship. He's getting ready to show out in your children. He's getting ready to show out in your finances. He's getting ready to show out in your business. God's getting ready to show out. Somebody shout, God's getting ready to show out. He's getting ready to show out. Kerebo bo shende la basatada. But we got to let God be God. We got to let him be God. I don't know what he's doing. I'm trying to figure this out. He says, man's goings are of the Lord. He said, why? He said, he don't know where he's going. Sometimes he think he do. So that's why these prayers I'm praying. Lord, teach me how to yield. And Lord, let your will be done. Yeah, I wish I had a way to get everybody stirred up about God. I wish I had a way to make everybody come to Jesus. I wish I had a way to make everybody want him. I wish there was some way we could just cause you to have an intimate relationship with God. I wish there was some way we could figure out how to get you to want him. But sometimes other people want things for you more than you want it for yourself. And I can't do that. My wife said something this past week. It just blew my mind. She said, I am not responsible for the emotions and the feelings of other people. I was like, dang. He says, I'm not. But I am responsible for the boundaries that God is showing me to put up around my life so I can do what he told me to do. God's method under grace is seen in Jesus' dealing with the woman taken in adultery and brought to him by the Pharisees. Look at John chapter 8 again, verses 3 through 11. God's method, his method under grace, his way under grace. Watch his way under grace as some others begin to talk about the law. Verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Nobody told us. We saw her. Sheets and all. We saw her. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. So what, according to the law, what was supposed to happen? Because Jesus was operating as a prophet under the law. But he was still Jesus full of grace and truth. Amen. How's he going to handle this? And they said, but what say thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He was ignoring them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, hey, let me show you something right. This is real cool. Just cause somebody asks you a question don't mean you have to answer it right away. Take your time. Let the Spirit of God work with you. So sometimes people ask questions just to be able to accuse you of something. Just hold up. I ain't got to answer right away. Well, Creflo, please explain to us why you did such and so, such and so. I'm just, what you gonna do for me? You ain't got to answer right away. In fact, the Bible talks about be slow to give an answer. Why? There's wisdom working in you. And he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He didn't say she wasn't supposed to be stoned. He was still right there with the law. He says, okay, the law says she should be stoned. Watch this. All right, those of you who don't have no sins, go ahead. Stone her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Amen. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. Now, the old people left first because they knew, I got a lot of issues I know about. So ain't no need me throwing no stone at nobody. If I throw one at myself, that thing might turn into a boomerang and hit me right back. He went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and there with the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and he saw none but the woman, so he's introducing this new and living way coming in. He's got to keep the law because the Bible says he had to fulfill every jot of it. So he can't violate it, and he didn't. This is just wisdom right here. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Watch this now. Hath no man condemned or judged thee?" And she responded, "No man, Lord." So there's no condemnation that came from any man. What you did according to the law was absolutely wrong. You deserve to be stoned. But grace showed up today in this situation. And grace said, there is no condemnation. Neither do I condemn thee. Grace doesn't condemn. Notice what happens when there's no condemnation. And this is what God's trying to do in this new and living way. Under the law, when you're condemned, read it. You just continue to sin again and again and again. Because condemnation produces fear, and fear produces sin. It just goes, it just keeps going because you feel condemned. He said, go without this condemnation and sin no more. Do something that stoning would not have been able to get you to do because you might have been dead after. Do something now that you couldn't do when condemnation was there. I think we miss it. When condemnation is there, there can be no freedom. Because condemnation has you locked down. Shame has you locked down. Guilt has you locked down. Shame, guilt, condemnation, when they are part of your relationship with God, it just, you're not going to get free from anything because you're already in bondage to those things. But what happens when there's no condemnation? See, under the law, we try to condemn you to try to get you to do right. And the church is doing the same thing today. Let's make you feel bad and fearful and condemned and full of shame. And then maybe those things will make you do right. But they don't work. I don't know how many of you have ever been condemned or shamed in church or by church situations. I've been on the other end of it, and I hate it. Because that's all we knew. Preachers had to condemn and shame you and convict you. Then maybe you'll get it right. Doesn't work. And Jesus knew it didn't work. He says, so what I'm going to do is remove the shame, remove the condemnation, remove the guilt. I'm going to take all that on myself. And I'm going to become your grace. And when you renew your mind with my goodness and my sacrifice, you will sin no more because you've experienced this love and you just ain't going to want to do it no more because you heard about a man that took your shame, took your guilt, took your condemnation, and he's like, who does that? How could he do that for me before I was even formed into a fetus? And then the Holy Ghost starts working in you. He said, go and sin no more because there's no condemnation here. And if we were to check out the people that are in this congregation today, the condemnation that you receive from people, the condemnations you receive from your family, the condemnation you receive from other Christian people who just think they're doing right. And I love how I've been hearing this lately. I love how when people really want you to do what they're preaching, they say, it's a commandment. It's a commandment. And that's the threat of, it's a commandment. You better do it because it's a commandment. Because if you don't do it, then God's going to get you. He's going to get you. And as many times they say God's going to get you, it seems like you'd have been got by now. How many ever heard that? God gonna get you. My God. Oh, no. And that was the whole attitude about you know, when it comes to God. Oh, no. Because we don't know him. Because we don't know him, we somehow receive that that's him. That's how he acts. I asked the Lord one time, I was walking, and I said, Lord, what if this stuff I'm teaching on grace is wrong? He said, don't you ever even say that no more. Amen. I said, well, why? He said, look within yourself and look at your own life and tell me. I said, yeah, this right. This right, because he moved in me and rearranged my furniture. My sofa ain't nowhere like it used to be. My chair done been moved. My table has been taken out. I am responsible for teaching what I believe. Amen. And I promise you, 13, 14 years ago, whenever it was, 12 years ago, when God called me to preach this, I will teach it until Jesus comes. Amen. But what I have described to you is the real God. He can't do any of those things because he is love. He is goodness. He can't show badness because he's goodness. But with his goodness and his love, he's going to transform you from the inside out. So when he appeals to you, to yield your body as a living sacrifice, don't be afraid to do that. Because what he says is, I got you. It's just like a little kid. Come on, baby. Come on, take your step. And they start crying, and you're like, no, baby, I'm right there with you. Or if you ever had the privilege of teaching your kids how to ride a bicycle, ooh, boy, that's why you ought to have murder, because, man, you got to stay with them. Come on, you got it. You got it. No, Dad, I want, no, come on, you got it. Come on, I got you, I'm there with you. And they pedal, and then they take off. And then I said, I'm there with you. And then they out there, I said, you there, you got it. It's the closest thing to the Holy Spirit living with us that's saying, don't be afraid to test this out. I'm there with you. I'll never leave, no, forsake you. I got you. And if you should fall off the bike, He's not up there saying, now, thus saith the Lord, you shall now go to hell and suffer shame all the days of your life. No, he says, come on, wipe it off. And you cry, oh, that hurt. I got you. Come on, let's do it again. Because this life as a Christian is a journey. Yeah. Amen. Wish I'd have known this, but I didn't. But I thank God I had to go through what I had to go through, because I'm even more convinced now than ever before, because I lived under the law and the conviction and wanting the validation and was a approval addict, and all of those things that I thought were right were just, I was like, why is this so hard? Why is this with so much fear? Why is this with so much shame? The shame that would come when I would get up and hear a preacher talk about how awesome he is in an area that I was failing in. I was like, wow. You know, he gets up and I've done this and my children are perfect. And I'm thinking, well, what the heck wrong with me? And I walk out just feeling like, man, I just must be the worst piece of donkey stuff than I ever. Because all the preachers, and I found out later that half of them were lying. Or come to church and the preacher preaches on somebody who got pregnant out of wedlock, and she's gonna be filled with shame giving birth to her first baby. Or being divorced, And have some guy saying, I've been married for 50 years and I ain't never had a fight with my wife. You know that joker lying. He a lie and a link in his breath snake. He lying. Oh, I've never had a disagreement with my wife. And just Just shame. I mean, at one time, I thought, man, I don't even want to do this. I'm done. I mean, seems like I'm just the mud pot anyway, so, you know. And then God called me to preach. I'm like, how are you going to call me to preach? Preaching and found out the meanest people I ever met were in church. I was like, is this the God of love? And when I encountered his grace, that's when I knew, now this is the one I was expecting. Amen. The God that will show me and walk me out of my issues without beating me up and condemning me and telling me how awful I was.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Go and sin no more. Whew. Jesus did a couple of things here. First, he freely forgave her, for which under the law she was worthy of death. She was supposed to be stoned to death. They were operating in the dispensation of the law right there. She was supposed to be stoned to get death. But he freely forgave her. He freely forgave her. I see why God's got me taking my time over this. He freely forgave her. Some of you need to look in the mirror starting today. And here's what you need to say as you're looking at yourself in the mirror. You need to say, I forgive you. Talking to you. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and you need to say, whatever your name is, I'm gonna, as an illustration, I looked myself in the mirror and I said, Creflo, I forgive you. And it seems weird because your image is in the mirror and you're talking about forgiving yourself, but some of y'all need to do that. It's not that God hadn't forgiven you, you haven't forgiven yourself. That same old junk keep coming up over and over and over, and you beat the snot out of yourself every time it comes up because you have yet to forgive yourself. And I'm asking you, just do it. I mean, humor me. Do it. Get in the mirror and say your name and say, I forgive you. And every time that condemnation come on you, because you've been so used, I asked the Lord, I said, where are people getting the most shame? He said, at church. Everybody in here has an issue. I don't know what your issue is. Your issue may be invisible because it might be an attitude issue. I don't know what your issue is, but what I do know is God is capable of escorting everybody out of their issue to the place that he's called and wired you to do.
Do you know who God really is? In Creflo Dollar's four-part series, The Truth About God's Ways, he highlights who God is and how his unique nature sets us free. This four-message series is available for a love gift of $25 or more for CDs or $35 or more for DVDs. To receive this series and discover God's loving nature, call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore today.
The countdown has begun. The 2024 Change Experience Tour is headed to New York City, and the revival is set to be absolutely legendary with two amazing sessions in just one day. Fellowship, music, the word. Bring your friends and family and experience it all on Friday, April 26th. Text CHANGE 2024, one word, to 51555. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org or scan the QR code on your screen to claim your spot today.
We want to be sure we are living according to what God has taught us about giving. And we understand that giving and receiving is a spiritual law. It's a reflex of God's love. And I'm so glad that Taff and I begin to understand how to walk in this principle. But we give not out of necessity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give because we're grateful and we're thankful to what God has done. You know, I want you to pray about becoming a giver into Creflo Dollar Ministries today.
And if this ministry has blessed you in any way, consider sowing a seed of any amount, and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for your support, and God bless you.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org today. God bless you.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. At work or simply needing to hear from the Lord, tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times. We're in this together. No matter where we are World Changers. See you online.
Salvation is the beginning of a new life for a believer. It is from this point that we can move into the fullness of who God has called us to be and see the manifestation of the finished works of Jesus. It is one of my greatest pleasures to help people to understand who Christ is and to lead people to Christ. If you would like salvation today, pray this prayer with me. Very simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died, that he rose again, and that he lives today. Come into my life. Save me. I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, that's how simple it is. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.